Hello and welcome to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service, given by Pastor Paul Harmon. This message was recorded on April 19th, 2015, and is entitled Our Home, Securing the Foundations.
Friends, thank you for being here once again. I felt very moved, and I want to remind you of this. On behalf of the Lord, thank you. Thank you, because you're maintaining something that the Lord says is very important to him. It's called the Sabbath. In Exodus 20, the fourth commandment is to honor the Sabbath and keep it what? Yeah, it's important, because God knows we sometimes get weirded out and go away. So he designed a day of rest and a day of worship to get our bearings back. It's like a mini vacation. Everybody, how many like mini vacation, man? You get one a week. And you're doing it. So thank you. And I want to add this as well. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13. I'm speaking that over you. 58, 13. God's word there says, because you have chosen to honor my Sabbath and to keep it holy and not do your own thing, I will cause you to ride on the hills. And I believe that is for each of you. So that hill means anything that's trying to overwhelm you. Because you've chosen to come in to say, now it's just Hope Chapel, we're just people, but there's something in our heart and attitude when we say, I want to give God my time today, and I'm grateful for that. Well, today, naturally, we've been looking at our theme once again. We've gone into our theme for this year, and you can see the little diagram in the front of your bulletin, which is multiplying life teams in 2015, and that involves mentoring. In other words, what I know, I'd sure like to pass it down to somebody, not just things that are my inheritance, whatever that might be, but man, I'd like to pass on some wisdom and some direction. And part of that is, we discovered last time we were together how God's word says you teach your son, teach your grandson. Matter of fact, even as grandparents, we do not stop that approach of just instilling in them an awareness of God. And if you missed last weekend's message, go online and check it out. I really solidified 5 points to say this is what the Word of God says we are to help our next geners to understand, how to reverence God, how to pick a mate. Scripture's all out there. Just this is what you help your children to know. Very important. Well, we need to know this. We need a good foundation. Securing our foundation. Today's message is entitled that. Again, we're talking our home and securing our foundations. And that's going to be important. Let's pray before we proceed any further. Father, thank you for your goodness. And Lord, as we just approach your word, we recognize this. We will not receive anything unless you lead and help us in these endeavors. So Lord, thank you for that. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So building our life, what is it that we want to build on? Let's take a look. First of all, I got an image up here. How many know what this structure is? Can anybody see that? It's called the Leaning Tower of what? Yeah, pepperoni pizza. That's right. Leaning Tower. And it's a very famous building. And it's famous for one thing. And it's not its height, because it's not a very tall building. It's 183 feet. And it has some amazing architecture. Even though it's a Roman architecture, it's 839 years of age, but it's most known for because it is what? Leaning. And that's an amazing thing. Back in 1911, they realized that the Leaning Tower is falling. It's falling 1/20th of an inch every year. And they projected it would collapse in the year 2007. Now it hasn't. And I'll tell you at the end of the message if you really want to know. But they recognize this, that the foundation is only 9 feet deep. Now that's not very deep for a building that tall. And so they recognize, as you and I can, man, though there's a lot of cool stuff on the surface, if the foundation isn't very solid, it can be a real problem. So they went at it, and they recognized that that building is at 17 feet out of plumb. And so we're going to take a look now at something of our own life with regards to securing the foundations, because our lives matter to God. Our lives matter to other people. Every one of us has somebody following our lives. Statistics show that you will influence 100 people in your life by the time you die closely, intimately. 300 people, somewhat kind of out there, but everybody's going to influence. And we will be building things in our lives. Isn't that true? We can build everything. And I mean, that's the beauty about being in America. You can really add on to stuff. I mean, you can have a lot of stuff. But what if the foundation isn't very good? Things will collapse. Eventually, in time, will collapse. You might look good and I might look good for some time. But like Jesus says in Mark chapter 8, verse 36, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? So today, when we're taking a look at mentoring people, taking a look at trying to help individuals and say, well, do I have anything to share? I think most of the occasions that trouble, I think men, is like I'm a little hesitant to share because, man, my life may not measure up. That's probably the thought all of us have to deal with. I was in 8 years as a youth minister. I did 3 years with what's called Royal Rangers when I first got water baptized, and man, I just kind of worked with 9 to 12-year-olds. Then the pastor said, you've shown yourself worthy, Paul. You're still not going to get paid, but now you're our junior high youth pastor. Thank you. So I did that for a whopping 2 years, and then when I brought Ainsley home after our wedding honeymoon, he said, congratulations, you two, you're now our high school. Still no pay, but I just want you to know you got job performance benefits. You're now our high school youth pastor. I did that. We did that for 3 years. One of the things we discovered that was most challenging is that, man, we were rocking it for Jesus, telling everybody how good God is, these high school students, junior high students. The challenge was we only had them for an hour and a half, and they would go home to an environment that was godless. And that was very challenging. Some of those young people are now in their 30s, naturally, and they're getting a hold of us. Others, man, we don't know where they're at. But the challenge was, who are you going to believe? Some little upstart youth pastor or a mom or dad that just has always invested in their life, but yet their life may not measure up to what the youth pastor's saying, or vice versa. So we're taking a look at securing the foundation because we're talking mentoring. Man, you've got something to tell someone. We want to make sure that you are okay. And every now and then, Pastor Paul just says, man, I know most of you. Thank you, dear guests who are here. And thank you for bringing your guests. And I hope we get better acquainted. But every now and then, I just want to make sure, is your secured foundation real? Is it going? And I think that that's where Jesus is at with our passage today. We're looking at Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 27. Little bit of highlight. This is the end of one of the most famous sermons of Jesus. It's listed there all in a red letter portion. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. When you were with us there in Israel, there we were in the Sea of Galilee on that hillside where he spoke, first of all, what's called the Beatitudes. And man, then he just went for it, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7. And right here, he's doing the application point. We're hitting the end of his message. Verse 28 says that. We're hitting the end of his message, and he's saying, now here's what it's all about and why. Because most of his crowd, the crowd basically, they professed God. These were not heathens. These were not, man, these pagans. No way. These were people predominantly, they were Jewish. But he said, this is what we need to do and recognize. In verse 21, let's go as I read from the New King James. If you got another translation, that's good. Follow along. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. And many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And, verse 28, so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the religious leaders called scribes. When we take a look here, point number one, making the right speech, but the false security. We're talking about our homes, basically our lives, securing the foundation. How do we get to a false security? Well, Jesus is addressing it, so let's look at it again. Letter A, acknowledging the good Lord. That's what they're doing. Verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Now, first of all, twice we have the phrase, Lord, Lord. Now, that's pretty awesome. I mean, that's kind of like a churchy word, isn't it true? I remember when I first got saved, I was a little bit turned off when everybody, you know, praise the Lord, hallelujah, Maranatha. I was like, well, that's a little bit out there. I'm not really that vocal. Now I kind of like saying praise the Lord. If you've been like, praise the Lord, kind of comes out. But at the time, but Jesus says there's going to be people that come to him saying, Lord, Lord. And the first Lord really is really referencing, man, you're the one in authority. The second one is you're the one in authority, or I'm submitted to that authority. Lord, Lord. So there's going to be people in that day that'll say that. And they make reference to, we did this in your name. We did that in your name. Oh, yeah, and we did this other thing in your name. So when we look here, we're dealing with Jesus talking about a profession, but it also needs visible proof. Jesus is my Lord, but there's something where it needs visible proof. James chapter 2, verse 17 says, faith without works is dead. How many recognize statistics? And I think it's a little high, but they're saying that Americans, 35% of Americans, say that they are what's called born again. So you can imagine if somebody comes home and says to their children or to their relatives, yeah, I'm going to church, I'm born again, but they're professing he's my Lord, but there is no visible proof. Billy Graham's the one who said, we have our greatest challenge in respect to church members who can have the God talk going on, but they have a false security. Maybe they're not truly where they need to be with God. Let's take a look at letter B. An affirmation of good works. Check it out. We see here in verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Letter A, we had somebody that was speaking to God. Hey, Lord, we did this in your name. Point B, now we have somebody speaking on behalf of God. Hey, Lord, we did this in your name. We spoke on your behalf. So it's interesting. This is probably one of those areas we have somebody that says, man, I like talking to the Lord, and now I'm talking on behalf of God. Can that ever happen? Where you have somebody that may have a false sense of security, but they're doing all these things. Can a pastor be that way? Sure. Can a religious leader be that way? Could we even have maybe Sunday school teachers that are speaking on behalf of God, and they really aren't really secure in their relationship with God where they need to be? That can happen. In Acts chapter 18, verse 24, talks about this dude named Apollos. Says that this guy spoke eloquently and he knew the scriptures, but he was speaking all about John the Baptist. Until this nice little couple named Priscilla and Aquila comes up and speaks to him more clearly about Jesus is the Messiah. Man, Apollos gets radically transformed, and now he's tearing up all Asia Minor, where you start to hear about him saying from people in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, hey, man, I'm of Paul. No, no, I'm of Apollos. I'm of Cephas, which is Peter. So, man, all of a sudden, Apollos becomes somebody, but, man, he knew things, but he just didn't know God. He's speaking on behalf of God. He just didn't know God. Can that happen? Well, apparently, Jesus is saying that does happen. How about letter C? accomplishments of good works. We've cast out demons, verse 22, in your name, and done many wonders in your name. And that word wonders, Greek word, means dunamis. It means powerful acts. We've done powerful acts. So you not only have somebody that's speaking to God and someone else that's speaking on behalf of God, now you have somebody, and this is a head scratcher, and I found some references. How can somebody not really have it going on with God? How can they do some powerful acts? Well, some of the references are noteworthy, I think, because one would be, to explain it, would be that they are doing these things in the name of God, but really it's the power of Satan. Just thought I'd mention that. But Acts chapter 8, verse 9 through 11, Simon, this guy's coming along. He's astonishing everybody with his astrology. And they're saying, man, you must be of God. In Acts chapter 19, verse 14, some group of family unit called Seven Sons of Sceva, they decide to do an exorcist and cast out a demon. It says, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. And, well, they got themselves in trouble because that demon took them on and thrashed those boys, and they ran out naked. You could read it for yourself. So sometimes people go at it in that area. Another way would be that all of a sudden people can somehow speak, unbelievers can speak by the power of God. And in Numbers 22, this guy named Balaam starts to preach a blessing over Israel. And later, man, he's not a good guy. He got in trouble. But God used him, so we could see that happens. How about Caiaphas in John 11, 49? John 11, 49, Caiaphas, the high priest, man, he's sending Jesus to the cross. And he says this, and the scripture says he prophesied that one man should die for the whole nation. And scripture translates that. And there's one other one, too, that all of a sudden you can talk about God and talk for God, and you could even do things for God, but man, and that's fine, but what if there's still in that person a false sense of security? You're not sure where you're at with God. And that leads a person to a flimsy security. See, that's where the Lord just says, you could actually just say, I'm not secure in who I am with God. That's important. What happens when a person comes before the Lord? One of those things I remember as a 10-year-old boy, I never liked going to catechism on Saturday because that's when all the cartoons were. But it's where I was. You go. Anyway, I remember all of a sudden the priest comes in and you had to get off your little desk and good morning, Father. And the question, I remember at 10 years old, somebody asked, how can we know how we'll get to heaven and if we'll make it? Young people want to know that question. And the answer was, we'll never know until we die. Well, that sent a journey for me. I want to know. It's pretty easy how to find out through Jesus. I mean, that's why we celebrated Easter and the resurrection. But how about it? There are people wanting to know. Some of us could think, well, I'll just take my chances. What? This could possibly be applicable for some of us. That's why, as a loving shepherd, man, let's just make sure of our foundation, because you have something to give to people. And that is not only your life that God has given you, but who you are and what you have learned. So number two, missing the right stuff, a flimsy security, looking at verse 23, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Oh, man. I mean, those are things I just want to read over, saying, well, that's just those that just don't know Jesus. But something's going on here because I never knew you. I talked with a person the other day, and he was saying a similar thing. He was saying, you know, I think God accepts everybody. I said, well, there's going to be some that Jesus says, I didn't know you. So why don't you put that in your eternal life pipe and smoke it? Well, he was smoking, by the way, and getting more legal while you go. So as we take a look here, it's worth noting because when letter A, the absence of a lifestyle is really where it's at. Check it out, because Jesus says there's two things this group is missing that shakes their foundation. They've got the right speech going on, but the absence of a lifestyle. Something's happening there. When we have our word needs to come into practice. Presence of a participating person, that's an important thing. When we see here in that reference of verse 23, Jesus says, you who practice lawlessness, in that it's a present participle in the Greek. It means it's a lifestyle of just saying, man, I'm just going to do my own thing. I'll just kind of check in with God when I need him. That's what he's referring to. Now, you and I understand. You'd ask, hey, Pastor Paul, do Christians sin? They do. Do they fall? Yes, we do. Do we choose to go off and sin? Yes, we do. But the difference is that for a Christian, man, sin wants to keep clinging to us. For an unbeliever wants to keep clinging to sin. I'm kind of comforted with this stuff. Don't tell me to give it up. There's a big difference. It's worth noting, and it's worth writing down to share it with your mini church. That Christians, you say, man, why does that stuff keep coming back and haunting me? Because we just have a human body that just kind of gravitates to the easy route. And sin's out there. It's very real. But those, Jesus says, who practice lawlessness, that's what he's dealing with. And we like the fact, man, there is great forgiveness for sins. And I like wherein Jesus reminds us in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things I say? So it's something of a practice where I know what I just heard. That's why we so want each and every one of you. Thank you for making Hope Chapel your home faith family. But man, we're in a quest to get people discipled. I'm convinced we may not have much time, maybe 5 years, before we are all scattered. And what would happen if we cannot meet together? And you have to now determine your approach based on what you know. What happens if you may not be able to be that easily detected because we have to discard electronic devices that will pinpoint where you're at or access where you're spending money? We need to know things. And man, you and I, what a great season, a peaceful environment. Let's get into the Word. Sign up for OSL, which is our discipleship group. Man, get plugged in and grounded. So when we take a look here, we're seeing in letter B, it says the absence of a relationship. That's where Jesus said so clearly, I never knew you. Now that's a shocker. That's something I don't think anyone would want to hear. God, you don't know me? What usually is something that's referenced is we would say, well, lifestyle, if I could just be a nice Boy Scout, awesome Girl Scout, God will accept me and we'll have a relationship going on according to my good lifestyle. It will develop into a relationship with God. That does not work. Does not work. Never works. Remember those days when, man, we would have to say, okay, put on your best duds, take your Sunday go-to meeting, shower or bath, and go on in. There's still no relationship. What happens is a relationship with God needs to happen first. And then the lifestyle just starts to kind of come along. Please don't worry about what you're doing, engaged in, or thinking. Does he know you? Do you know him? That's so important. Jesus says, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who habitually are practicing a disobedient lifestyle. So when we look here, we just need to recognize the importance of that. I like in John 20, verse 31, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Why do I bring that up? You'll say, well, how do I make sure? You got to be a part of the family. Not a basically Hope Chapel, but the family of God. It's called the church. How do I get to be a part of the family? man, you have to basically choose to say, I want to come on in and invite Christ to be in my life. That area, that scripture that Jesus says in John 3:3, you must be born again. Must be born again. Born into the family. I like 1 John 5:11. This is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And it goes on, verse 12, he who has the Son has life. He who doesn't have the Son does not have life. It says nothing about membership. Nothing. It just, man, it's all about Jesus. A lifestyle, not first, lifestyle follows a relationship with Jesus. Well, number three, the mining the right steps develops a firm security in who we are in Jesus. And verse 24 talks about that. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. So as you take a look here on your notes, you can see letter A. First of all, isn't it great? Want to know God. Man, I just get to know him. Go for it. Really make him a priority. Isn't it interesting? Does he know you? That's important. Does he know you? That's something that he knows. It's nice when you're in an awesome church like Hope Chapel. Pastor may get to know you. Isn't that, it's like, isn't that nice? I think he might, or they might know me. But does God know you? That's important. And so when we take a look, how about letter B? It says here, Jesus says, here's these things of mine. Here's these sayings of mine. Are you spending time to hear from God? Is something in your pattern of life, and it should be, where you call what we call devotions, where you just sit down, maybe with the Lord for 30 minutes. I know that sounds a lot, but go to bed 30 minutes earlier and just sit before the Lord. Open the Bible. See if he speaks to you. Hear from the Lord. That's important. If you're not spending time, as he says, come to me and then hear, that's going to be important. And then letter C, obey God. Because he says here, this is the wise person. Like in a wise person, he does them. Don't be a forgetful hearer. But that's an important. That's where the lifestyle starts to kick in. That's what helps young people in our next generation. We say, man, I love God. Oh, yeah, we're going to church. Because the lifestyle backs it up. There's something that's going on. We're not just trying to put something over people. We're just really saying, man, I love the Lord. And this is a part of our life. I'm grateful that we have a consistency where we spend time hearing from the Lord. I know you want to know about the Leaning Tower of Pisa, don't you? Yeah, they predicted it would fall in the year 2007. The scientists worked on it back in 2001. And they fixed it by 18 inches. They brought it back to its year 1838 stance. Bam! So it's on that tilt. Now they've predicted it will collapse 300 years from that time. So about 230. How many are going to be around to see it happen? One day, down, baby, down. Friends, what a great situation we have here. And I know the Lord may be speaking to some of you. I want to just welcome you. You know, we have, what a great, great month to be water baptized. If you've never been water baptized, maybe you were like me. Well, I got water baptized when I was 6 months of age. Well, that's when my parents were happy for me. But then I discovered Jesus. And that's Christian baptism. That's where you're identifying with Christ's death for you, his burial for you, and his resurrection still for you. We identify with Christ. Water baptism takes care of the exterior body. The baptism in the Holy Spirit takes care of your spirit and soul, and you start to take on the characteristics of the Holy Spirit. The body, take on the characteristics of Jesus. Jesus was baptized. Those are ways that we just say, man, I'm going for it. And I just want to invite you right now. Let's just close our eyes for a moment. I want to be very respectful, even for our guests who are here. But the Lord's here, and that's what we really rejoice in. If you are in need of the Lord to just secure your own personal foundation, you are not sure. People say, well, this is just talking about a trial between a shaky building and a strong building. But if you look at Jesus' notes, talking about the narrow gate, on that day, there's an event that you and I will face when we stand before God. Are you ready for that? As a pastor, I want you to be ready for that. It's God's heart for you to be ready for that. If you need the Lord in your life, you've never invited Him in, eyes are closed, but would you just raise your hand and say, I need the Lord in my life. Man, I want to go big for God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Just put those hands down. How about for those that just maybe you just realize something struck a note and the inconsistency is so evident, but you want God's help to become all that you can be. Because you want to be able to help others, but you need God's help right now. You want to rededicate your life to Jesus Christ. Is that you? Would you raise your hand and say, yeah, thank you, thank you, thank you. Anyone else? It's helpful to be honest. It helps me believe the Lord. Thank you. Go ahead and put those hands down. Let me lead us in a prayer. I just love the Lord, and I love when He does this for us. This prayer, let's pray it all together out loud so that no one feels singled out, especially for those 11 hands that went up. Let's just pray. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Savior of the world. And I confess to You today that You died for me, rose to life for me, and I ask You now, forgive me of all my sins. Wash me clean. Come now, Lord, into my life, into my heart. Be my Lord and be my Savior. I'm going to trust You, Jesus, for eternal life in heaven with You. Dear God, help me to be the kind of person You want me to be, so that I can help others. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Wow. I'm excited. Thank you. Thank you. Let's stand to our feet. Shall we do that? I'd actually like to, do we have a song? But I need to get everybody out. Okay. We're gonna, if you want to continue to sing your little sweetheart out, please do. Let me pray a blessing. If you prayed to accept the Lord and you don't have a Bible, John has Bibles out there. We want to make sure you have them, has now that you're a Christian. Let's make sure of that. Matter of fact, if you're anywhere interested in hearing about water baptism, meet me right through that door. I'm sorry I will not be able to greet you and hug you. So all of you must go out that way to get a hug, please. But I want to just say, what a great day. Please consider being water baptized. Watch God take your life to a whole nother level. I want to just pray off a blessing, and you can go get free donuts and coffee. It's either Pastor Paul or Dough Balls, whichever you want. Okay. I won't take offense. But let me just pray off a blessing, okay? And don't forget to sign up to those areas of ministry, too. Father, we love You. And Lord, as we even just have people up front here that will be praying, Lord, let there be miracles that will meet people in their need. For those that surrendered their life to You today or were moved with conviction, not condemnation, that be gone in Jesus' name. Conviction to action. Lord, thank You for bringing their life such a peace and a tranquility today that leads them into weeks, months, years. And Lord, prosper their life. Give them a great, great situation that affirms Your love for them in a profound way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, everyone. We have individuals up here to pray. Please come on up and receive prayer. We'll see you out front. Thanks for coming. Goodbye.
You've been listening to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service. If you'd like to hear more of our messages, or if you're interested in finding out more about Hope Chapel Huntington Beach, then please visit our website at hopechapelhb.org.